It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Yes. 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 And dare I say, yes, welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, the Rob Brown Show on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Happy Friday, Friday. Gotta get down on Friday, people. And perhaps even more importantly than Friday, Friday, gotta get down on Friday, it is here. It has arrived. I know it's early in the morning. I know there's still a lot of time between us and time to go Betty bye. I know there's still a lot of time between us and the end of our day. I know there's a lot of time between us and laying our sweet heads down to sleep. But when that time gets here, when it is time to enter our evening slumber, when it is time to lay our heads down on the pillow and drift off into that wonderful beyond, when we wake up tomorrow, when the alarm goes off in the morning, when you get up and you have your coffee and you make your pancakes, or maybe because it is such a special day and you're going to be locked up for the entire afternoon and evening, you put your significant other in the car, you go out, you grab yourself a little brunch, you get back to the house, and then we sit and we watch as College Game Day kicks off. And then at noon tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, it has been a long time coming, but the college football season hath finally arrived. Let us give thanks. Let us sing the praises of the sports gods, as we have long suffered through the football off season, but alas, the time that was promised before has come. Alas, the time of struggle is over. It is time to reweep. I had such a good thing going there. It is time to reap the rewards that we have been promised for all this time. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for college football, my dudes and dudettes. It is time for college football. I don't even care, as I've told Lonzo time and time and time and time and time again. I don't even care that it's like not all that great of college football. I do think the Florida State-Georgia Tech game very much has the possibility to get very interesting. I think as we have watched the line on this game drop 3.5 points over the past week, there's the possibility that this thing could get a little wild. But football's football for me, big dog.
Do Clemson fans tune into this game to root against DJ?
You know, I would say no. I think that
how many Clemson fans do you really know? I mean, the real ones, the ones who put Clemson in front of their name. You know, Clemson,
zero.
Clemson Joe Bob, Clemson Bobby Joe, all those guys.
I think I'm comfortable saying I know a relatively large number of Clemson fans, and the experience that I have had thus far in my conversations with them is that the majority of them seem to show grace to DJ Uiagalelei, understanding and acceptance. I think for a lot of them, it was very much a situation of, we gave it a shot, it didn't work out, we amicably split, and now you're on the way. Now, obviously, all of these conversations happened before DJ Uiagalelei became the quarterback of a direct rival. All of these conversations came before DJ Uiagalelei started QBing for a team that is going to do everything they can to stand between Clemson and another ACC championship. So maybe that attitude has shifted a little bit now that DJ has transferred once again, and this time is in the ACC with an Atlantic Coast Conference championship rival.
Back to a place, the ACC, where he kind of almost dominated. Yeah, I mean, where he's familiar with we'll say talent in the ACC. So yeah, I mean, so the Clemson fans that I know are not the one percenters that you know. The people I know are the ones who put Clemson in front of their name, and I'm guessing that they're going to be rooting against DJ. And they'll say, here's what they'll say: well, we're rooting against Florida State because they're in the ACC. But there'll be a lot. If there's a bad player, I told you, I daggum told you. See, that's why he's no longer a Tiger.
From my interactions, and I don't live in the same metropolitan area that Lonzo does.
Poorest county in the state. Woo!
Yeah, I don't live in the same metropolitan urban sprawl that Lonzo has been caught up in. But I don't think Clemson fans care. Based on the interactions that I've had, I don't think they care. I think they have left the DJ Uiagalelei drama in the past. I don't think they care all that much. I think they'll root against them again in that he is the quarterback for Florida State.
Okay, so this is how you feel when you say that I'm being an idealist. How I'm feeling right now about how you're talking. Do you not know real Clemson fans? They want DJ to be the cause of Florida State losing. That's what they want.
I think you sometimes do this thing, and I've talked about this before. I think you sometimes do this thing where you're like, your experience is the universal experience, and it's not. I hang out with Clemson fans all the time. And
that's funny.
My experience with them is that they don't care. Again, I think it would be one thing if the split was ugly, right? Like, I think it would be one thing if DJ left and bleep talked Dabo out the door and said Clemson fans are bad and took a bunch of money. If DJ split was more in line, I think it's more likely that, in fact, I don't think it is. I will declare that it is more likely that South Carolina fans will openly root against Antoine Juice Wells because of the way that he left.
Wow.
Then Clemson fans will against DJ for the way that he left.
I was waiting for a Clemson fan to bring up South Carolina, and then you did. I mean, we weren't talking about South Carolina. We were talking about Clemson. Why you got to bring up South Carolina when we're talking about Clemson? I don't know why you got to do that.
Because, again, the point that I was making here was there was an amicable split between those two entities, DJ Uiagalelei and Clemson. There was an amicable split where Clemson said, it's not working out. And DJ said, it's not working out. I'm going to hit the road. And everybody went, that's what's best. I've had in my lifetime, I have had breakups that were very, very, very ugly. And you go, you know what? Go bleep yourself. I never want to see you again. And then I've had breakups that were very amicable. You just come to the conclusion that, you know, we're not as compatible as we thought that we were, unfortunately. And I wish you the best of luck, and I'll see you around. And that's just kind of how it goes. I feel like DJ and Clemson had the second kind of breakup. It didn't work out. We gave it our shot. We're just not compatible. Versus Juice in South Carolina, whose blow up was bad, was not.
I'm getting damaged. All that, but we're talking about fans. We're not talking about the stuff at the top. Fans wanted DJ gone, and they got him gone. And now maybe he has his vengeance upon the ACC and upon Clemson. Maybe he does.
Well, I think perhaps the mood changes a little bit if, you know, let's say we get to the end of the season and or midway through the season and Florida State knocks off Clemson and all of the sudden Florida State has a Florida State has a huge day against Clemson and DJ comes out and throws for, 25 of 27 for 350 yards and four touchdowns, right? Like, then they might go, yo, what the hell? Where was that? But again, you also know that, at least I would say at that point, if it caused any more drama, I would say at that point, you understood, or at least you should have understood, that DJ was a development case. I understand what you wanted was the guy who was going to walk on the field, put on the crown, and become the heir apparent to the Clemson quarterbacking throne, but that's not how this works. Some guys need time. Some guys need development. Some guys need the opportunity to grow. DJ obviously did. That's why he went to Oregon State, and that was the benefit of him going to Oregon State. Had you given him another year of growth, another year of time, maybe he could have been that guy for you as well, but you were all ready to move on to Cade Klubnik. Again, of all the times I've used a relationship metaphor in the world of sports, which is most of the time, I think this one might be the most apropos. Years ago dated a young lady who was phenomenal. She was a sweet girl. She was very pretty. And unfortunately, at that point in my life, I just wasn't ready to be a good partner, right? Like, I wasn't ready to be someone that was, gonna settle down and relax and enjoy hanging out and being around one person all the time. And we amicably spill it up. And, a handful of years later, now I've had my Oregon State period. I've developed, I am, and I've got a wonderful relationship because of it now. I'm sure there's, if she cares, she could absolutely justifiably look and go, where was that guy when I was dating him, right? But the answer was, I wasn't that guy. I hadn't developed yet. That's DJ. He wasn't ready for a committed relationship with Clemson. He went off. Now he's grown into a better, mature partner. And you just kind of have to accept. You either had to give him time to do that, or you had to let him go, cut bait, and move on. Clemson fans decided to move on to the next guy, and that's Cade Klubnik. I don't think there's any reason to hold anything against DJU other than he ended up at a direct conference rival that stands between Clemson and a return to conference superiority.
There are times when I want to live in your world, because that world doesn't exist for a lot of people, probably the majority of the people, probably 99% or at least 90% of the people. That's not how fans down here on the lower levels think. That's not how it works. Now, some of them may jump on the text line at 71307 and say, oh, well, Rob's absolutely right, but they're just agreeing with you. They're not really delving into their inner Clemson fan who hate anybody who leaves the team and openly root against them in public places. And maybe you should head down to a sports bar, a Clemson place, or someplace where you know a bunch of Clemson fans hang out, watch the Florida State game, and watch them root against him, because they absolutely are going to do that. All that stuff that you're talking about, that, again, idealism, it's awesome. There's probably a few classy people who think that way, but I don't believe the majority of the people do who are Clemson fans.
I think that as somebody who is at the sports bars, that I'm going to guess, not a shot, I'm probably at them slightly more than you are. I think we've done the research on that, and I think I can statistically...
Are you at the Clemson ones? Are you in places where the real people are? Or are you in the place where they're clinking their martini glasses?
I hang out with a bunch of Clemson people, and you keep going, no, you don't. So who are the real Clemson people that I'm missing out on?
I've already talked about that, and you agreed with me. The people who put Clemson on the front of their name, and you said you don't know any of those people. We established that like 10 minutes ago.
I said nothing of the sort. I have simply said that I know the Clemson people that I hang out with. Yeah, hey, speaking of the Clemson people that I hang out with, Kevin Thomas will be here at 9 o'clock this morning to talk high school football with the boys of Moving the Chains. We'll ask Kevin, or are you going to tell him he's not a real Clemson fan?
He doesn't have Clemson on the front. He's not Clemson Kevin, as far as I know. At least I haven't seen it. I can go through our Odyssey email list and see if it says Clemson Kevin on it, but I don't believe it does. His personal email might. I don't think so. And those are the people that I'm talking about, and you said you don't know those people. So,
ladies and gentlemen, unless you legally and literally change your first name to Clemson, you ain't a real Clemson fan. You must legally do it. Down at the State Department office, if you don't change your first name to Clemson, you're just not a real fan. I'm sorry. I
love what
today.
You're trying here. It's not working because no one said that. But that's fine. That's good. I mean,
didn't you just say nope. Unless I know a guy who goes by Clemson?
Right,
blank,
right. There's a difference of going by and actually having your name legally changed to that. You said that, not me.
Right, but I just told you, I know Kevin, a legitimate, thorough Clemson fan, and you went, wait, he's not Clemson Kevin. How's he fix that? Do I need to refer to him as Tiger Kevin now?
He probably, we'll ask him. But if you do that, then you'll take away from what he's really going to be here for, and that's the high school football. I wanted to say opening night, but I don't know if there was week zero last week. I think there was. So this is week one of high school football, and that's why he's going to be here.
Kevin Thomas will be by at 9 o'clock this morning, as will either Jarrell Hendricks or our boy John Martin coming back. We'll let you know who's going to be joining him at 9 o'clock.
Let's have all three.
I told him bring all three. I said, it's week one. Everybody, we got room for everybody. So we'll see who comes by. Pardon me. But they will be here at 9 o'clock. The fellas of Moving the Chains to talk a little high school football as we, the season officially now and thoroughly now underway. We'll talk with them a little high school football coming up at 9 o'clock this morning. We have also got a ton else to talk about. Week zero does indeed start up tomorrow. The aforementioned DJ Uwe Ungalale, Amy, will be kicking off alongside FSU coming up at noon tomorrow. We're going to break down that game. I will give you, I put some thoughts together as to what to look for. You know, all week long, a certain group of people have been poo-pooing the excitement of the rest of us of college football week zero tomorrow. I shan't name names nor point fingers at anybody specifically, but a certain group of people have been poo-pooing the excitement of week zero. I have put together a list of five things that if you are not a casual and actually like college football, you should be looking for tomorrow across our four-game slate that opens up the college football season. So stay tuned for that. We did have a couple of NFL preseason games last night. The Indianapolis Colts ran their starters out and got the better of the Cincinnati Bengals in Ohio. The Chicago Bears and Kansas City Chiefs played their backups last night. The Bears getting the better of the Chiefs on the road. We'll address those games and get into a little baseball as, ladies and gentlemen, I can't believe I'm about to say these words. The Atlanta Braves beat the Philadelphia Phillies last night and won the series 2-1 to grow or shrink the lead down to just 6 games in the NL East. We'll talk some baseball. It's all coming up on the Rob Brown Show. It's all coming up on the Fan Upstate.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Dexter said, Rob, I work night shift. I'm about to lay my beautiful head down to the caressing sweet sound of Rob Brown. Enjoy your nightmares, partner, and I wish you the absolute best of luck. Have a wonderful slumber, friend. We'll just talk like this the rest of the show for that one guy.
No, he won't. What are you going home straight from work and going to sleep for? I mean, people don't do that. We don't go home and go to sleep. We go do stuff. Why are you going home and going to sleep?
For sure.
Hopefully you
immediately wrap up the show, finish my work, go home and take a long, long siesta.
Nah,
what
man,
kind of psychopath would do that?
Who does that? I mean, go home and have the rest of a day. Like, go to sleep around noon or something. Don't just go home and go to sleep. I mean, that's just weird.
All right, let's get to some football up in here on the radio program today. Talked a little bit about it yesterday on the show. We got into a discussion about the teams that we believe will be on their way to the college football playoffs, the expanded 12-team playoff. And we started talking a little bit about the different schools. We picked our conference winners earlier this week. Lonzo out of the ACC picked Florida State. I have Clemson. Out of the SEC, Lonzo picked Texas. I picked Alabama. Out of the Big Ten, Lonzo picked Ohio State. I picked Oregon. And out of the everybody else group, Lonzo was selected Cincinnati. I went Utah. And then there is obviously the chance. That's my Big 12 champion. And then there's obviously the chance for a group of five team to get in there as well. Lonzo selected Cincinnati to make that happen. But now we've got those other seven at-large slots that we need to talk about. Now we've got all of the extra at-large bids that are available here. And I asked the question yesterday. We didn't really get into it too heavily, but we will here. Is there a path for the ACC to end up with two or more teams in the playoffs? Is there a path for the ACC to end up with two teams in? Could both participants in the ACC title game find their way into the college football playoffs? Is there a possibility of three teams? Could we have two 11-1 teams and then potentially an 11-1 team that is left out of the ACC championship game that finds a way to sneak in the back door? And the answer to me is yes, the possibility is there. The problem is when you look at those extra teams, right? And I will start for right now. I will start right now with Florida State and Clemson being your odds-on favorites to win this conference. According to ESPN, Florida State has a 36% chance to make the college football playoff. Clemson has a 27% chance, just a little bit better than 1 in 4. To make the college football playoff, and the Miami Hurricanes have the third highest chance at 18%. That is tied with the Louisville Cardinal. They give SMU a 17% chance of making the college football playoff this year. So if we look at those five teams, and we start with the team that is predicted to be, not by me, but by Lonzo, not by me, but by ESPN, the Atlantic Coast Conference champions, the Florida State Seminoles. On that list, they have SMU, they have Clemson, and they have Miami. They do not have Louisville this year on the schedule. Florida State also has a top 10 matchup against Notre Dame. That game is on the road this year. They will also match up with Florida at the end of the year on rivalry weekend. Then you take a look at the second team on the list. That, of course, the Clemson Tigers. Clemson has Georgia out of the gate. They also have at number 10 Florida State. They also have a matchup against Louisville. They do not catch Miami. They do not catch SMU on this list. If we go to the third team on the list, those are said Miami Hurricanes. The Miami Hurricanes, as we mentioned just a minute ago, do have Florida State on the schedule this year. That is arguably their big game in conference. They open at Florida next Saturday. They do catch Louisville, but they do not have Clemson, and they do not have SMU on the table. We look at Louisville's schedule, the Louisville Cardinal this year. As we have just mentioned, they do have, obviously, on the schedule, Miami this year. They do have SMU, and they do have Clemson on the schedule. So when I look at and then there's SMU. SMU has a 17% chance of making it in. Looking at the SMU schedule, they do have Florida State coming to the house. The next week, they are at Louisville, but they avoid Miami and they avoid Clemson. If you draw out the roadmap here for all of these teams, is it a possibility for multiple ACC teams? I think the answer is yes. I think Florida State can catch a regular season loss, still make the ACC title game. I think Clemson can catch a regular season ACC loss and still make the title game. Miami can catch a regular season ACC loss and still make the title game. The problem is, for them to do so, they will probably need Clemson to catch a couple or Florida State to catch a couple. And I will say that, and this is why I have for a very long time, to the chagrin of many of you, specifically those of you fans of the Southeastern Conference, this is why I have gone on so many rants about the fact that the college football broadcasting environment, to me, is very, very clearly slanted in favor of and biased towards the Southeastern Conference and the B1G. Because here is the unfortunate reality for the teams like Miami, for the teams like Louisville, for the teams like SMU, for the teams like, well, everybody that's not in those two conferences. I don't think a 10-2 team that is not from the B1G or the SEC is going to get in. I don't think a 10-2 team, unless that 10-2 team goes 10-2 and then wins one of the everybody else conferences, the Big 12, the ACC, whatever. Unless they go 10-2 and are still able to win a conference, I don't think a 10-2 team is getting in front of a 10-2 team out of the SEC or the Big Ten. And on top of that, and remember all those times you went, oh, Rob Brown, you're just being a big old crybaby. We have now seen the playoff committee establish that a school out of the B1G or out of the SEC will be permitted to go ahead of a school from another conference, even if that school has a better record. It literally just happened, meaning that if you are a 10-2 ball club out of the ACC, there is a realistic chance now that a 9-3 team out of the SEC or the Big Ten, the playoff committee may look and go, yeah, they had one fewer win. They had one more loss. But look at the conference they were in. Look at the degree of difficulty. Look at the strength of schedule. So sorry, 10-2 Miami, 10-2 Louisville, 10-2 SMU, who did not play for or win your conference championship. This other school had it tougher than you did. So even though they lost more games and won fewer games, they get the bid, not you. This is why I went on those rants over the past 6 months. This is why I've been yelling about the Alabama thing, not because I particularly give a good gosh darn about any other team that was in that spot. I care because it was a precedent setting decision that could very well see a 10-2 ACC team left out of the fold in favor of a 9-3 Big Ten or ACC team. And that is not a shock now because it's already happened. So the answer is yes. there could absolutely be a path for two ACC squads, but that to me is the absolute maximum, because the third team, even if the record is identical to team number two that played for the ACC title, I think there will be a reason to shove that third team out and make sure we have as many SEC and Big Ten teams in the fold as we can possibly get.
There is no doubt in a lot of people's minds, especially in mine, that the SEC and the Big Ten are better than the ACC, especially with the teams that they've added. You and I both have picked a team from that just became a part of those conferences to win those conferences. So they added a bunch of good teams. The ACC did not. The ACC is still top heavy. Only a couple teams will and should have a shot at making it to the playoffs. I am curious, though, is the committee the same this year as it was last year? Have there been any changes?
I do not know who is rolled off and who has rolled on. I will look and see. That's actually a great question that I should have looked up before we get there. I know that they're like I know Gary Pinkel was on it last year. I think Chris Ault was on it last year, and he's back again this year. Outside of that, I'm not
just
sure
just like in
else.
Just like in the judicial system, other like in the Supreme Court, you know, new Supreme Court judges come along and they overthrow old rulings. So it may be precedent, but that precedent was set for the four team, not for the 12. We don't know that they're going to be the same way this year as they were last year. And also, I still would like to know if there were new people there, because the new people rolling in may not think the way the old people did.
I mean, again, absolutely a possibility, but the whole thing with the and I'm fine with the metaphor of courts overthrowing old legislative decisions, but in order for that to happen, you have to show up and make a hell of a compelling argument to overthrow precedent. The precedent, the reasoning behind this was more eyeballs, more money, more good. That's why Alabama got in. I still to this day believe
that.
Yeah,
but that's your opinion, though.
Yeah, of course it is. Most everything we say on these shows are our opinion. I'm sticking by it, though, because, again, that situation happened in the entire existence of the playoffs one time and only one time. We're going to chalk that
and
up.
They were so appalled by it that they decided to go to 12 teams.
No, that was already happening because, again, more money. Welcome to college football, kids. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show rolls on. It is the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, with you, getting set up for week zero in the college football season. Kicks off tomorrow at noon. Coming up in the next hour of the show, I've got a week zero viewership guide for you. What to be watching for when week zero kicks off tomorrow. Not going to go down this path any further, because I'm tired of it and I don't want to, but Tracy said Jordan Travis was hurt. That's why it happened. Yeah, I get that. That's a nice little layup reasoning, Tracy, except for not once, but twice before, teams with backup quarterbacks, including Lonzo's Ohio State University, were allowed to go compete for, and in Lonzo's Ohio State University's case, win the national championship with a backup quarterback. Again, you broke the mold, and no matter what angle you take on that argument, all right? And I know I'm beating a dead horse here. I know we're still talking about it with the new season here.
That horse is a skeleton by now. I'm just saying, you've been beating that. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I am sure that this will never come up again after today, obviously. But no matter what angle you attack it at, it was a precedent-setting decision. No matter what angle you attack it at, it goes against everything that the committee had done every year before. Not one, but two other teams were able to compete for, and at least one of them win, a national championship with their backup quarterback. And on top of that, Florida State rode a top five defense to an undefeated season last year. So effectively what you said is that doesn't matter. That is irrelevant. You want to know why the NFL has gotten to where the NFL is? Because they've gone out of their way to make defenses more and more irrelevant, to make it harder and harder to play defense. That's why even I went after Tom Brady earlier this week with his, oh, we've dumbed the offenses down for these rookies, and that's the problem. No, no, Tom. You haven't dumbed the offensive down. You've made it so ridiculously difficult to play defense in the NFL that it's allowed offenses to be dumbed down. You've made it so tough for defenses to play defense that quarterbacks don't have to be as cerebral as they had to in years gone by. That's why quarterbacks look different now than they did back in the day. Not because we've dumbed the game down, but because you've made the game so offensive friendly that quarterbacks don't have to be nearly as on their game to be successful as they did back when you played. When I go after Tom Brady, you know there's something to it, all right? Tracy said you can take multiple angles, but it's okay, all love. Listen, it's sports, dude. We're going to It's a conversation. Tracy, heart hand emoji to you, my guy. No worries at all.
You seem kind of angry this morning. So, I mean, and they're feeling it. So, I mean, you know.
Not angry at all. It's college football week zero.
Thrilled. Let it go. It's okay. It's all right. It's okay to smile. It's okay to have it. I mean, you should be excited. You are pumped for tomorrow. And, you know, would it make you happier if I'm quiet the rest of the show? Would that make you happier? Because I can do that.
I am thrilled. However, I'm happy to make some other people mad, and I will do so right now. Have you heard this story, this conversation about the Little League coach versus the New York Yankees yet? I love this so much. I really do. Mainly because there's a lot of emotion wrapped up in this story, and it's kind of dumb, but I love it anyway. So, the Little League World Series is going on right now. And this past weekend, the Detroit Tigers and the New York Yankees played in an annual contest called the Little League World Series Classic. Effectively, two MLB teams go to Williamsport, where the Little League World Series is played in Pennsylvania. And these two MLB teams play a Major League Baseball game, and they invite all of the teams and all of the kids that are playing in the Little League World Series to come out and go to a big league ball game. It's a very cool event. Usually the players go out there and they invite the Little League players to come out and they take pictures with them and spend time with them. And that's all very good. It's all very cool. Well, the coach for the South Shore Little League, Bob Laterza ripped Aaron Judge this weekend, claiming that while Judge was in the on-deck circle in the Yankees' loss at Bowman Field, he said that his Little League team was yelling, trying to get the attention of Aaron Judge, and all they wanted was some acknowledgement from Aaron Judge. Laterza said, quote, "How about turning around or waving to New York and the kids that think you're a hero? They're the ones who pay your salary." He then got very indignant with Aaron Judge in a local paper, on a local radio station, et cetera, because Aaron Judge blew off the South Shore Little League team during the Little League Classic this past weekend. My favorite thing is that the Yankees have decided that they are going to pull no punches in firing back at this Little League coach. The Yankees released a statement afterwards that said, quote, "We wish Staten Island success in winning the championship. Win or lose, we intend to invite them to Yankee Stadium. However, it would have been much better if Staten Island's coach called us to understand the facts before bitterly reacting in such a public fashion. Reaching out to us would have been the prudent way to act and would have set a fine example for his young players." End quote. I love this so much because there's like, what about this isn't there to love? I've got the involvement of arguably the biggest name in Major League Baseball and Aaron Judge. I've got the feelings and emotions of a little league ball club. I've got a hothead New Yorker of a coach who's real mad he didn't get his way. Eh? You know what I'm saying? Real mad he didn't get his way. And now I've got a big league ball club that is out here lobbing grenades at that coach like, "Hey, yo, man, why don't you watch your mouth, huh? Why don't you quit running your mouth and maybe talk a little bit before you start taking shots at us in the newspaper, huh? Huh? What are we doing here?" I love everything about this.
All right, I have a question. What would him calling them have done? What would they say? "Oh, we're sorry," or say, "Oh, Aaron wasn't feeling good that day," or "All your players are short and he's really tall and he didn't see them"?
Say, "Hey, the biggest name in Major League Baseball was in the on deck circle live during a Major League Baseball game and was dialed into making us a competitive ball club, and he's not going to be able to pay attention to every fan who screams his name while he's getting ready to go up to the plate and try to put a bat on a 101 mile an hour fastball. Maybe my guy that's getting paid tens of millions of dollars a year to go hit a baseball was locked in on doing that. Maybe Aaron Judge, who, by the way, went out on the baseball diamond before the game started and took dozens and dozens of photos with all of the Little League World Series players that were out there. Maybe while the game is happening, teach your ball club that ball players get locked in during ball games to be the best ball players that they can be, and you're being a little bit of an entitled jerk right now," which is not how I would have written the press release if I was
I think you would have. I think you absolutely would have. Rob Brown, Yankee defender. Way to go. Defending the Yankees.
I am defending the New York Yankees.
It's not that hard to just look over and acknowledge a little bit. I think that's kind of the coach shouldn't have spoke out like that, but Aaron Judge could have looked over. I mean, could have did something. I mean,
Aaron Judge, who plays for a team whose fans famously will call you every name and slur in the book if you go 0-for-3 in a night, is not going to have the ability to, whether he wants to or not, the ability to acknowledge every fan who yells his name while he's playing. Lonzo, if we went to a Chiefs game and Patrick Mahomes is on the bench and he's got his tablet and he's looking through the plays and he's watching the film, and your granddaughter, you bring her to the game, and she yells, "Hi, Patrick," and Patrick doesn't turn around and acknowledge her, are you going to put Patty Mahomes on blast and go, "Hey, man, maybe you could look up from the playbook of an NFL game for just a second to acknowledge a fan"? No, you're not going to do that. You're going to go, "Sweetie, he's at work. He's doing his job. He's got to stay focused. So he's not mad at you. But you just got to understand Patrick's working right now, and he'll yell at us after the game, and you're going to move on." The Yankees do.
I do appreciate the scenario. It's very unrealistic, but I appreciate the scenario.
That's true. You wouldn't sit front row. I get it. There's too many people down there.
Well, there is too many people down. No, I want to sit in the back so I can see all the people. So I don't get stuff thrown at me. I want to sit in the back. No, the other thing is, if I'm at a Chiefs game, I'm not taking my granddaughter, I'm taking you. So, I mean, there's that, you know, because she's not going to have fun, whereas you would.
That's adorable. Thanks, buddy. You made my day. I feel so warm and fuzzy on the inside now. All right. I'm going to defend the Yankees. This ends up being a story about, and here we go. Here comes bad guy Rob. Somebody hand me the robe with the glitter and the feathers on it because I'm about to be the heel.
And the across the front or the back, I don't know where this says I hate children. I don't know where you would put that on. Maybe a small patch somewhere.
Doesn't say I hate children. What it says is your children aren't the most important thing in the world to anybody but you. All right? They're not. If you genuinely, honestly, sincerely expect for a big league athlete to check out of the game that he is, Aaron Judge gets paid like $19,000 every time he swings the bat. If you expect him to check out of that game, to pay attention to your precious little snowflake, your expectations aren't real, and the real world's going to be a bleep for your kid when you come to the realization that outside of your four walls, he ain't the most important person in any room anywhere.
Why were they there?
Unless they get elected president.
Why were they there? Why were the MLB teams there?
Play a baseball game.
But they were there for the kids, right?
They were there to play a baseball game. It just happened to be about the baseball game that was themed about the kids that day.
Yeah, right. So they were there for the kids. So if you're there for the kids and you know that's the reason why you're playing in that ballpark, maybe just be a little more, wave your hand, something. I mean, because that's why you're there.
Check out of the game that you're about to go to an AB with two outs in your team trailing. Don't pay attention to the New York Yankees. Pay attention to my precious little crotch goblin. That's what you should do.
That's weird.
Aaron.
I've never heard that before. What's that mean? The crotch goblin.
I mean, you
goblin.
Get it or you don't. I just don't. Listen, all I'm saying is the fact that I got
should
on
I
social
have dumped
media.
That? Maybe I should have dumped that. I don't know.
No. Neither of those. Hell, crotch is the most appropriate thing that I call that area on the air. So I feel like we're clean.
All right.
What I'm saying here is the fact that I woke up to a solid chunk of the country. The story's a day and a half old now. The fact that I saw yesterday a significant number of people jumping on Aaron Judge for having the audacity of being locked into a baseball game that he's getting paid a lot of money to do and not stopping what he's doing in order to pay attention to kids that he was already on the field taking pictures with before the game. Like, there's no need for that. Leave Aaron Judge. Do you understand what you got to go through to get me to defend a New York Yankee? Stop it.
Seems like he did it pretty easily. I mean, you were right in there because kids were involved. So
nothing to do with the kids. I would feel the same way if it was some adult who said, I can't believe I paid all that money to sit by the dugout and none of the players talked to me.
So if they were there at the old folks home.
If they were playing a baseball game that counted in the standings, yes. Sorry, Ethel. Aaron's not got time for you right now. All right? It is what it is. He is there to be a big league ball player and play big league ball at a big league ball game. Why is Aaron? Leave Aaron alone. Hey, that's hour number one of the books. When we come back here in hour number two, we open it up with your water cooler cheat sheet, top three sports stories that you need to know before you get to the office and start talking sports. Then our week zero viewer guide. I've picked out a couple of storylines that you may want to keep an eye on when college football gets its start tomorrow in week zero. That's all coming up in the next hour. Before we get there, Lonzo is about to dial in like a professional. Don't have your kids say hi to him. He's too busy focusing on this sports flash.
Just want to shout out to Ethel. The Atlanta Braves won the second game in overall series over the Philadelphia Phillies with a 3-2 win last night on the back of a nine strikeout night from rookie Spencer Schwellenbach. The Braves had 10 hits, including a 3-for-3 one home run night from Adam Duvall. Atlanta decreased the Phillies' divisional lead to six games, but a Mets win has them just 1.5 games up on the final wild card spot. Tomorrow marks the beginning of the 2024 college football season, with week 0 Florida State and Georgia Tech will kick off the day and the season in Dublin, Ireland at noon, followed by Montana State at New Mexico at 4, new ACC member SMU at Nevada at 8, and a midnight kickoff between Hawaii and Delaware State from the Aloha State. Hey, tune in tonight at 7 p.m. as the Burns Rebels take on TL Hanna right here on your home for Burns Rebels football, the Fan Upstate.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.